I thought this evening for Gaura Purnima, I would try to do two things. One is to take you to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada at a time when Srila Prabhupada was glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur Dham. And also, second thing, to inspire you, if you have Chaitanya Charitamrita in your home, to read it. And if you don't have one in your home, get one to take in your home and read it. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is, as the name, at the title of the book, it's Amrita. It's very, very wonderful. Bhagavad Gita is very wonderful and profound. So many scholars don't have a clue, frankly, what is the message of Bhagavad Gita. But from reading Bhagavad Gita, one can then have the opportunity to enter herd of elephants upstairs. Little elephants, baby elephants. Good strong beams, I hope. Okay. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada described like this, Bhagavad Gita is our undergraduate study. Bhagavatam is the graduate study, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. Postgraduate because it's the life of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the highest form of expression of love of God exhibited by Srimati Radharani in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is a great mystery. How can one observe Gaura Purnima without referring to these nice verses that come at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the identity of Lord Chaitanya is described by Sarup Damodar, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Asmat Ekatmanav Api Bhuvi Pura Deha Deha Gatau Tau. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. And Radha and Krishna, there's Radha and Krishna, Kishore Kishori. Very clearly, ask the pujari, they dress them every morning. There are two forms. Radha and Krishna, Kishore and Kishori. But according to Sarup Damodar, those two forms are one entity. How is that? Two forms are one entity. The Shakti and Shaktiman, the energy and the possessor of the energy, just like the sun and the sunshine. They're inseparable. You won't find sunshine without the sun. You won't find sun without sunshine. Ever seen any sunshine anywhere without the sun? Doesn't exist. So therefore, Krishna means Radha Krishna, and Radha means Radha Krishna, because they're inseparable, just as sunshine means the sun is present. So those two forms have become one in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Krishna, desiring to experience the love of Srimati Radharani, needed to become the ashraya, the vessel that is experiencing love for the vishaya, the object of love, Krishna. You follow? There's a nice description in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there's some poet that says, the love of the lover and the beloved are equal. Krishna Das Kaviraj says he's wrong. He doesn't know the art of love at all. Ask Krishna. As far as Krishna is concerned, the love of Srimati Radharani is so overwhelmingly attractive that he wants to experience it. But because he's the object and not the subject, he can't experience it unless he becomes the subject towards the object of love. So he becomes the subject, he becomes the devotee of Krishna. Very unique, most esoteric and deep and profound. Krishna becomes the devotee of Krishna to experience the love that Radha has for him. To do that, he manifests the bhav, Radha bhava dyuti suvaditam, naomi Krishna svarupam. He's Krishna himself in the luster of Radha and the bhava of Radha, but it's Krishna. The two forms become one form. Just like in our altar in New York, there's Radha Govinda, and Prabhupada at one point said, you can't worship Radha and Krishna without worshiping Lord Chaitanya. You must approach Radha and Krishna through Lord Chaitanya. So you should have an altar where there's Gornitai, or at least Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. So when you visit in New York sometime, you'll see Mahaprabhu and Radha Govinda. And that form of Mahaprabhu is the same Radha Krishna in one form. So the pujari only needs to dress one form. But now there's three, because it's both Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Radha Govinda. And here is four, Gornitai, his brother, Lord Nityananda. So there was those initial 11 verses. Chaitanya Charitamrita is so beautifully composed. Without giving explanation, without expanding the meaning, Krishna Das Kaviraj presents the truths of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and the Panchatattva, and the Spiritual Master, and the Vedas in 11 verses. Then he goes back, and one by one, he expands each one to make a whole chapter of very, very profound teaching, so that we can understand more deeply who is Lord Chaitanya and his associates, because his associates are also not ever separate from him, nor is he separate from them. They're eternal associates. So two of them I'd like to discuss this evening. One of them is a verse that is very dear to me. For one reason, Srila Prabhupada spoke about it in Mayapur during one Mayapur festival. He spoke one of the verses every morning, and they're very, very wonderful. You can hear the recordings of them, and your hair will stand on end to hear Srila Prabhupada speaking on these verses. During one of them, when speaking, he entered into a state of trance. His concentration, his absorption was so intense, he lost external consciousness right on the Vyasasan. I don't think I'll do that this evening. Don't worry. But Prabhupada was in Sridhar Mayapur speaking the introductory verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and his mood was so deep and profound and rich and moving. Each day it was just a festival, the Bhagavatam class. It was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. And from that inspiration, at that time I was a brahmachari and my service was book distribution. So every day, my Sankirtan partner and I, we would recite these verses. And then we would take one of them and discuss one of them before we began our book distribution. I was always look forward to that moment before book distribution of diving, plunging into the nectar, the amrita, of the glorification of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So we'll take a little plunge this evening. The first is a verse that's glorifying both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Very short. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandao Sahoditao Gododaye Pushpabantao Chitrao Shandhao Tamonudao. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So the syllable da means to give. So they give benedictions and they take away the darkness of ignorance. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains, in the previous yuga, in Dwarapa Yuga, Krishna and Balaram, who themselves, each was more brilliant than millions of suns, and the next yuga became the same, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, non-different than Krishna and Balaram. And they appeared on the eastern horizon of Bengal, being compassionate upon the world. So when they appeared, the whole world became jubilant with spiritual happiness. This is Gaura Purnima. Purnima means full moon. So by lunar calendar, it's a full moon. And the full moon in the month of Phalgun is when Mahaprabhu appeared. And in 1975, I think it was, there was also a full moon on Gaura Purnima day in which there was also a lunar eclipse, as happened during the appearance of Mahaprabhu. And according to tradition, or from the Vedic teaching, when there's a lunar eclipse, it's a very auspicious time to take bath in a sacred river and to loudly call out the holy name of the Lord. So that was the circumstance of Mahaprabhu's appearance. That very same place, Navadvip, that was filled with materialistic religionists who would never chant the holy name aloud, because their idea was you can't. You're forbidden to chant the holy name aloud, except on lunar eclipse. So they were chanting loudly Krishna's holy name. And in 1975, it was deafening. Where all those, because where Navadvip is, where our Sridhar Mayapur is, Now it's more developed. Then it was much less developed. It was just rice fields and a few temples that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established in a long road. So he went way down the road where there was no development and went to take bath. And it was like, you know, the football stadium just before the game, or Grand Central Station in New York City at rush hour. It was a stampede of millions of people that all wanted to get into the Ganga at the same time, at the same place. It was actually very dangerous. I thought, people are going to drown. And you'll never know the difference because all this loud sound, you won't even, somebody's saying help. So many people loudly chanting, resounding. The whole sky was filled. They didn't need an amplification system. Loud, resounding sound of Krishna's holy name. It was amazing. And then that was the circumstance of Mahaprabhu's appearance. Everyone was jubilant when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. I'm going to go through the verses little that lead up to its conclusion. He's explaining, he's expanding the meaning of that one verse. Vande Kshi Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandao Sahoditao. As the sun and the moon drive away darkness by their appearance and reveal the nature of everything, similarly, these two brothers dissipate the darkness of ignorance covering the living beings and enlighten them with knowledge of the Absolute Truth. We were discussing this afternoon. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's verse. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekam Purushak Puranam. Same idea. Simultaneously, driving away the darkness of ignorance and awakening the dormant transcendental knowledge within the heart of every living being just by their presence. So what is this darkness of ignorance that they drove away? Krishna Das Kaviraj is anticipating that question, so he answers it. It is this process of Kaitava. And he refers to the verse, second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Protita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam, and the rest of the verse. So Kaitava literally means cheating. So it's an adjective describing Dharma. Kaitava Dharma. It's a contradiction. Sounds contradictory. Cheating religiosity. Religiosity isn't cheating. Religiosity is good. It's not cheating. But he explains, Shubha or Ashubha, anything that appears to be auspicious or inauspicious, which covers the living entity's tendency, natural, dormant, loving tendency to serve the personality of Godhead, that was completely kicked out. Projita, in the language of the Bhagavatam. Pra, the prefix pra, means completely. Completely kicked out. But what is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Anyabhilashata shunyam jnana karma janavratam. Completely eliminating any tendency for taking up religiosity for fruitive gain. Taking up religiosity for material prosperity purposes. It steals away, it cheats the soul from this propensity of love and loving service unto the Supreme. And then he goes on to say the foremost type of cheating is the desire to achieve liberation by merging into the Supreme. How many times have we heard that? Ultimately, the goal is to become one. Isn't it? ultimately the goal is to become one. So I'm going to close the book for a moment and we'll go to Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya this afternoon. In Asvika, we're speaking about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Sarvabhauma is a title. It's the most learned person amongst all learned persons. And Bhattacharya in itself is a name that means very learned. So it's like the most learned amongst all learned persons. That was his name. That's what his name means. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was super scholar, without all the detail, which we did this afternoon. Through the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is writing, that which was covering Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's tendency of for love of God, that tendency was completely removed. And instead, light came into his heart. And then he could recognize that Lord Chaitanya was the personality of Godhead. When he had that realization, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then showed his forearm form of Vishnu. Just like Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa. He just manifested his forearm form of Vishnu, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then transformed that forearm form into his two-arm form, just like Krishna did with Arjuna. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, after showing the universal form, he showed his forearm form, then his two-arm form, and smiled. And said, no one can understand me as I am, except through devotion. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Because Sarvabhauma's heart had become transformed. The darkness of ignorance had been dissipated, and the saho dito, the benediction had been given to him to realize his nature and the nature of the Absolute Truth. Just through association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They just spent a number of days, just like 8 days together. And he became a perfected living being. Although he was describing himself, my heart was as hard as an iron bar. And his brother-in-law said his heart was as hard as a dry oil cake. Not very complimentary. But through Lord Chaitanya's association, he became a perfected devotee. So one day, after he had become a devotee, now this is super scholar, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, came to Mahaprabhu and said, I have a complaint about Vyasadeva. What? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what are you saying? He has written incorrectly. What do you mean? Please explain. He quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Brahma speaks. Many of you know this verse, at least the beginning. Tat tenu kampam susamikshamano. It's a nice verse for devotees who are undergoing some tribulation and how to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness when you're going through some tribulation. Anybody knows tribulation here? I know tribulation, my dear friend. So, how to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness even through tribulation. Bhujana evatma kritam vipakam ritvagvapurvir viditan namaste jiveti jivetayo yasat mukti pade svadayabhak. And he changed it. He said bhakti pade svadayabhak. So Mahaprabhu said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you're editing the words of Vyasadeva. Why are you doing like that? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, just like we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the awakening of love of Godhead, prema, pumarto, mahan, the awakening of love of Godhead, which is the result of devotional service, far surpasses mukti. So it should be bhakti when one uses one's hrid, your heart, vak, your power of speech, and your body, vapu. You dedicate your heart, your words, and your body unto the service of the Supreme. Namaste, offer your obeisances unto the Supreme, and that way submit yourself unto the Supreme. Then the personality of Godhead will give you devotion unto Him. Bhakti pade sudaya bhak. His argument was that when you use the word mukti, or liberation, generally people conjure in their mind merging with the Supreme. Mukti, in most people's mind, that are familiar with the term, become one with the Supreme, liberation. If you become one with the Supreme, where's their devotional service? No devotional service? That's hellish. No devotional service? That's hellish. And then he went on to explain, there are two types of liberation of this sayuja type. One is entering into the effulgence of the Lord. The other is entering into the body of the Lord. Like Shishupal, he entered into the body of Krishna. He said, that's worse. It's more hellish. Because they know, there's Krishna's form. Now let me enter into the form of Krishna. Most abominable. Should be bhakti padesh vidayavak. Mahaprabhu was so happy. He said, please understand, it's only the personality of Godhead who can give liberation. So it's coming unto Him, unto His lotus feet. So whether it's mukti pade or bhakti pade, it's the same. It's referring to the Lord, who's the giver of liberation, or the giver of bhakti. It's the same person. There's no wrong in what Vyasa has written. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya straightened himself out and said, all right, but bhakti's better. And Mahaprabhu said, just see, you are this dry logician, and by the mercy of Lord Jagannath, now you have become a devotee to such a degree you can't even bear to hear the word mukti. It must be bhakti. Just see. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, it's because of my brother-in-law. He blessed me. He said, one day, that day will come. I bless you that one day will come when you'll give up all your dry logic and you'll become a recipient of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because of that well-wishing of my brother-in-law, my life has changed. And never again will go back to that dry, scholarly logic. He paid his obeisances at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and went to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. Gopinath Acharya, his brother-in-law, was so happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as this verse that we're reading, the darkness of ignorance, the forgetfulness of who we are is ignorance. Worse is to have the mistaken identity of another something that we're not, and that's that we're absolutely equal to God. Such foolishness is the greatest kaitava, the greatest cheating. And that was projita, completely driven away by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So So he goes on, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, this darkness of ignorance is removed and truth is brought to light. What is that truth? Sri Krishna. And the loving devotion to Sri Krishna, exhibited in pure love, is achieved through congregational chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all bliss. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that through the chanting of the holy name. Ignorance dissipated, benediction, and the awakening of our dormant spiritual consciousness just through the chanting of the holy name. Then listen to the next verse. This is a verse that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur liked very much and would quote often. Listen to the translation. But these two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, dissipate the darkness of the inner core of the heart, and thus they help one meet the two kinds of Bhagavatas. What are the two kinds of Bhagavatas? There's the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is the pure devotee, or one who is in relationship with Bhagavan, is the Bhagavata. The person and the book, Bhagavata. So has that not happened? By the mercy of Chaitanya, for all of us here, by the mercy of Chaitanya, because Mahaprabhu appeared, we're celebrating his appearance. Because he has appeared, we now have Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of pure devotees. The book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. Srila Prabhupada was that emissary, but behind Srila Prabhupada is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, the sun and the moon. By their presence in this world, we have these two Bhagavatas, the book and the person, Bhagavat. He writes, through the action of these two Bhagavatas, the Lord instills the mellows of transcendental loving service into the heart of a living being. What has the consequence, the outcome of Srila Prabhupada's association in the lives of those who have taken shelter of him and his teachings? The transcendental mellows of love for Krishna become accessed, they awaken within the heart. And thus the Lord, in the heart of his devotee, comes under the control of the devotee's love. Very deep and profound. Krishna wants that relationship more than we do. And when that relationship of love is established strongly, he subordinates himself to that love of the devotee. He likes that. That's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. So, beyond becoming one with the Supreme, is he becomes subordinate to his devotee. Inconceivable. Certainly to the materialist and certainly to the monist. And even to the neophyte bhakta, it's inconceivable. But this is Lord Chaitanya's gift. He then writes, almost done, the first wonder is that both brothers appear simultaneously. Like, when is the circumstance when the sun rises and the moon rise at the same time? Answer, never. One or the other, but not both simultaneously. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda appeared simultaneously, almost within 12 years' time, but the sun and the moon simultaneously, both giving light. One being the source of light, the other reflection of that source of light. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And the other wonder is that they illuminate the innermost depths of the heart. Not just something that you go to school and learn how to become a technology something or other. You learn how to, whatever you learn how to do, write software programs, or maybe you learn how to make a better this or that, and you get a job. And until you have some knowledge, you can get it, you get hired so you can make a living. That's important. But it's certainly not the goal of life. But these two, they illuminate the innermost chambers of the heart in such a way, darkness is gone and one can see spiritual reality through their association. Thus, these two, the sun and the moon, are very special, very kind to the people of the world. Thus, for the good fortune of all, they have appeared on the horizon of Bengal. Let us therefore worship the holy feet of these two lords. Thus one can be rid of all the difficulties on the path of self-realization. In a later chapter it's described that simply by worshipping the lotus feet of the Panchatattva, the impossible becomes possible. A lame man can climb mountains. A dumb man can speak great orations. A blind man can see the stars in the sky. And a fool can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedas. Impossible becomes possible by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. And one who has faith in that principle and worships their lotus feet becomes benedicted in a most amazing way, incredible, inconceivable way. So two more verses, so we'll have time for our drama. This is in the beginning of Adi Lila chapter 2. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, just poetically very beautiful. Oh, my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarine Ganges water of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Let me describe your glories. Although my tongue is parched, your glories are like nectar. Let that nectar flow, ocean-like nectar flow on my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks, and bees. The river's flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. He's praying to Lord Chaitanya to empower him to speak properly to glorify him, so that his parched tongue will become soothed and all those who hear, the devotees, become like swans and ducks and bees amidst the lotus flowers that are emanating from those glories of Lord Chaitanya. Very beautiful poetry. Then the last, and we'll end. This is by a verse composed by Sarup Damodar, and it makes up a whole other chapter. And it's one of the verses that my Sankirtan partner and I would recite every morning before we began our book distribution. We didn't learn the Sanskrit, but here's the translation. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, that's Lord Chaitanya, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. He's not saying my heart, because he already has that, Sarup Damodar. May that be your good fortune too. So we were thinking like that as we were distributing Prabhupada's books. May that son of Sachi Devi become resplendently situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching to come to the stage of love of God, whatever it is that you do in your sadhana, your devotional practice. The goal, the fruit in its mature stage is love of God. And in the particular form of love of God that Mahaprabhu was distributing was this most confidential conjugal love. It's a very high subject. That, even if one doesn't understand the very high subject, that's what he was giving. So when we're chanting in kirtan, Jai Sachi Nandana, Jai Sachi Nandana, what do we know? We're ignorant fools. But the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is nonetheless pouring upon us to cleanse us of this ignorance of material existence through the Bhagavatas of Srimad Bhagavatam and the presence of Srila Prabhupada and his sublime teachings. The direction to go properly on that path to reach Krishna once again, restore our loving relationship with Krishna, is the gift that we're receiving. Such good fortune. So it was discussed earlier today in the afternoon class. It's easier to relate to those who are immediately proximate, our spiritual master or the founder acharya of ISKCON, our beloved founder acharya Srila Prabhupada. I can relate, but be especially on Gaur Purnima, be very clear, just behind Srila Prabhupada is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the manifestation of the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the chanting of the holy name should be heard in every town and village. And he was making that instruction manifest in the world by the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, we are now in this fortunate situation where at least the opportunity is there, as much as we're eager to receive it, the opportunity is there to completely finish this material struggle for existence and rejoin the eternal pastimes of Krishna, the spiritual world, in love of God. And we're celebrating Lord Chaitanya's appearance in that way this evening. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Shri Srupa Maharaj ki.
Gaur Pimanandi.